Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You have to wrap around like a towel. To say.
No, because it literally, like, it's like a little piece of, like, plastic, and you just have to go, whoosh. Like, you don't roll it over. Yeah. It's just like, I don't even know how to explain.
Listen,
it.
I'm going to do my research, don't worry.
Just Google, like, Passante cling film condom.
Cling film. That's exactly what I want to put on my genitals.
Right. And it feels like you're wearing nothing, honestly.
Like I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Nothing
stupid,
at all.
Sexy Osama.
Hello and welcome to Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet, the only podcast that uses cutting-edge science to answer the questions that you actually have. Things like, what's up with trees? Why is the sky blue? And how many delivery drivers could Benedict Cumberbatch take in a fight?
Lots.
Yeah?
At least eight.
Exactly two.
As always, I'm your host, Alex Lathbridge. I'm a PhD student in biochemistry and computational biology, a comedian, and I really, really enjoy McDonald's chips.
Yes.
No, I'm all about KFC.
No. McDonald's chips are the best chips.
Aren't McDonald's chips the one that got into trouble for using beef fat and upsetting a lot of Hindu people?
Beef fat?
No, beef.
I was
bees.
Like, beef fat? That's been fucking difficult for us. Just
no,
this
isn't doing
the match. Hey, I need some beef fat.
On my left, as always, I have Oz Ismail. Oz is a PhD student in neuroimaging and dementia, a Tinder aficionado, and an awkward advice guru.
Advice is the main word there.
Not awkward. We're not going to go with the qualifier.
Advice. It's all advice.
He gave me some very useful advice today.
What was it?
He showed me a new type of thing. I can't go into details.
No, it's very private. That's Why Not a Dark After Dark.
After Dark. That damn show.
Is that when we all get destroyed and replaced by, like, the cast of QI?
Slightly inferior
too
show.
Dark, too dark. Too dark.
And that's the opposite. The opposite of dark. Anyway, on my right, I have Sahel Patel. Sahel is an amazing journalist. He makes brilliant videos for the BBC. And he now knows a lot more about niche condoms. Thanks,
that's,
to Oz.
That's true. And I mean, you've changed my life.
Giving it away.
Oz, you've changed my life.
What I do. You call it awkward advice, Alex, but it's very useful life advice.
It's true.
If you say so. So, guys, what have you been up to this week?
So, I've had a great week. Earlier this week, I had my visa appointment to go to the States.
So how did that go, Osama?
Oh my God, I was so nervous. And I got at every stage, I'm like, they're going to say something about how I look or my name. They were really nice. And they were like, yeah, your visa's approved.
Yeah!
So yeah, I'm off to the States, you guys.
Hopefully you can come back one day.
I mean, don't make it dark. I hope I can come back too.
Please come back. Don't leave us.
So, what have you been up to this week?
Just the same as usual, man. Just surviving, thriving, eating some biscuits.
No fruit, though.
What happened to the fruit?
Fruit is gone, man.
What?
Smoothies now. Smoothies. More efficient consumption of fruit. Pulverize that fruit.
Oh.
Drink it up.
But you need to chew. You know, it's good for the jawline, isn't
it? Yeah.
That's bullshit.
It's good for the jaw, maybe? But my jawline.
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, just keep that jaw moving.
Ooh.
Oh, that became too sexual.
Another thing is I've got this stand-up comedy set coming up.
Yeah.
Next Saturday. which I've been thinking about preparing for.
Yeah.
I haven't prepared yet.
Yep. So by the time this goes out, you know, he'll have smashed it. But you can hear now the trepidation in his voice. So anyone who was there on the night, like, you can hear it. You can hear the, you can compare and contrast. Yeah. Hopefully you heckled him.
I'm expecting lots of heckles. I haven't written any material, so I'm just hoping everyone heckles me and that'll give me lots of...
So basically you're going down the improv route, really.
I don't know what the scientific term for it is, but...
Aggressive improv.
Yeah.
Everyone just make fun of me. That's what I'm good at.
Aggressive crowdsourcing. Oh, yeah. Now, this week I have done jack shit, really.
What?
That's good, though.
No.
Alex, Mr. Always doing shit.
No, this week I, what did I do? I have just been writing a paper, and drinking a lot of coffee, had a couple of meetings with
check you out. Yeah.
Oi, 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 oi. Do I come to you when you're making smoothies, when you're recommending niche sexual objects? Do I blow up your spot? No. So be happy for me.
I am happy for you. I'm really happy for you.
Again, those things, like 90% of those things, 95% of them, end up in nothing. But it's always nice to have.
But that 5%, Alex, that's what matters.
My week has been very dry, very boring. And I've been looking forward to this recording because we're doing a book review.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, Alex, I spent all my life reading stuff. Yeah. Why are you making this work?
So guys, this week we are reviewing a book. We're reviewing, what's the book, Sahel?
It's called Biff and Chip, Excellent Adventures. Oh shit, did I read the wrong book? Fuck. Damn, it's like book club all over again.
What I like is that Oz didn't grow up in the UK, so has no idea about the book we're talking about. But you mean Kipper gets the magic key? Is that not the thing?
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah. No.
Give me the elevator pitch of this book.
So essentially,
that's
gonna come on. This week we're reviewing a book, guys. We are reviewing The Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli.
Weirdly, I didn't have the time to listen to it all.
Yeah. So Oz, I know you feel super, you know, weird about reading. You feel guilty. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm not reading a scientific paper, I just, you know, I just can't. It just puts a mental block on me.
No, I have the exact feeling as well. Like, I feel guilty for reading anything that isn't to do with my work. But this was great because we got sent some audiobooks by Penguin Random House. And this is a real interesting book because it's about time.
Time.
You see what I did there?
Rosemary and Time?
No, it's about time. So
it's about the herb.
It's a wordplay. I got there.
Thank you.
I got
Thank
there.
You. I'm so glad you said that. Fucking working with amateurs. Jesus Christ. So guys, what did you guys think of the book?
I mean, I didn't read it.
Well, so how are you? I think that's a pretty conclusive finding there.
So that's my review of the book.
I mean, it was narrated by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes.
I mean, so Oz, how did you not listen to it?
I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch should be looked at.
Should be seen and not.
What is this?
He's a beautiful man and he should be just, you know, when you look at him, and everything, time just stops, okay? And that's what happened to me.
Is that what this podcast is going to be? Yeah. It's going to be a series of temporal puns.
Basically.
Okay, for Mr. I didn't listen to it, you can think about that.
Okay. I'll sit in my corner and think about Benedict Cumberbatch.
Me and Sahel are going to discuss this book.
Yeah, you know.
So, like, Sahel, what did you think about it?
Do you know what, man? I thought it was quite interesting. I think it just needs, you need some time to get into it. It's
so
one of those things.
What is it like? What is it about?
Well, firstly, the book is about time. Obviously, it's called The Order of Time. And it's about the kind of nature of time and how the differences in how we perceive it compared to actually what it is. So it's very like philosophy of science, a bit philosophy of maths. It's quite a complicated topic, but I think it's interesting to listen to if you stick with it.
So, yeah. So this book was written by Carlo Rovelli. He's an Italian quantum physicist, and he's a guy that also like studies philosophy as well, I guess. He's most well known for a previous book called Seven Brief Lessons on Physics. But he's massively into like philosophy of science, which I think you kind of have to be when you're a quantum physicist, because a lot of those questions become like questions of the universe.
Yeah.
And how you can understand that.
Absolutely. I think one of the things is I was a bit like, if the thing is, I'd done a bit of philosophy of science at uni, so I went into this already having some ideas around it. But like, I think if you're a person who's not interested in that topic, it's going to come across as a little bit pretentious at times and difficult to understand.
Is that why they used Benedict Cumberbatch to read the book?
I actually think it is, because it's a bit, I genuinely love, I love the concept of the book and what it's trying to discuss. But Carlo Rovelli sort of, he writes in incredibly flowery ways, and I completely understand it, because it's like me when I'm trying to give a seminar talk on my work, and it's like, I want to show you just how complicated this is, so I'm going to dumb it down for you and have you understand that you can't understand it. That's the level you get to. You don't really understand the concept of what he's really trying to get to. I feel like, is time real? You know, is the nature of time, what is the nature of time? It is how I perceive time the same as you perceiving time?
Absolutely.
Those are all like deep philosophical questions.
But this is where I get confused about quantum physics as a thing. Is it even real? Like, what? What the fuck? As scientists, right? Like, okay, for me as a biologist, I can see things, right? I look at organs or cells and I can see things like actually happening. Is that because that's how my brain is wired, that I understand it? And that for me, quantum physics is like magic.
Okay, so we can actually answer that question sort of looking at the book a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, the basis for a lot of the book is Einstein's theory of relativity.
Yeah.
So, or even just looking at relativity itself. So if we go way back and we look at Aristotle, because what Rovelli did, he talks about Newton, Aristotle, Einstein. So Aristotle was saying that time itself is a measurement of change. So if nothing in the universe changed, then there would be no need for time, because time is only a product of change, or time only serves to measure change.
Yeah.
That's what Aristotle was saying.
Right.
That's what I understand from the book anyway. And then Isaac Newton, he said that he sort of disagreed with what all of Aristotle was saying.
Yeah.
When he was saying that there is like a true time, like true time ticking across the universe.
As independent to our perception.
So so it's there. It's a thing that whether we can perceive it or not, there is a true time. Mm. Like it's
so based on that, the time that we perceive is our perception of it. It's not real time.
Yeah. So this is where it gets real fucking weird.
Okay.
Round time.
No, honestly, this book, I felt, I don't know about you, Sahel, but this is where it gets really fucking weird. Because then you start talking about Einstein and Einstein's work in like space-time. Einstein was like, okay, Aristotle, your ideas of time being a measurement of change, and Newton, your idea of there being true time that takes across the universe, even though both of you would disagree, like one's disagreeing with another, you're both correct. So Aristotle's correct with time flowing in relation to other things happening, so there being an idea of before and after. And Newton is sort of correct with an idea of absolute time, which is where Einstein starts talking about space-time, bringing the idea of time and space as sort of this one thing.
They're intrinsically linked. Yeah.
So think about like, you've got a rubber sheet, you put a massive ball in the middle, you know, like so you get a rubber sheet, and put a ball in the middle, you know how it'll warp that, it'll warp time. So if you think of time as that big rubber sheet and the ball as like an object that warps gravity around it. And so that's how you can get time affecting, that's how time, and so that is an example of how time can be warped relative to space, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But again, it does make sense, like, because you've explained it like in a visual way, mm-hmm. using physical things. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, when I try to translate that to the actual space and actual time, I'm just like, it's magic.
So like one really good example he gives is the fact that like if you're speaking to someone on the phone, yeah, you're speaking to, let's say, Oz, you're off to America. I'm calling you in Portland. There's going to be a slight delay between me in London and you in Portland, like a few milliseconds. Yeah.
Okay.
So if I'm like, hey, what's happening to you right now? And then you say, ah, I'm doing this right now. I don't actually know about what you're doing right now. I know about what you're doing 4 milliseconds ago relative to me.
Sure, but also like then you had to factor in like the physical things that cause the delay.
Exactly,
anyway.
Exactly. No, that's no. But you don't have to factor those in. But
so you're saying theoretically, regardless of the delay and like the telecoms delays and stuff.
No. We're actually talking about the fact because of the telecoms delay.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Of the, like that. You know, I'm listening to you 4 milliseconds ago.
Right.
And us speaking even right now, there's a very slight lag between me speaking, the vibrations in the air, mm-hmm. you hearing it, you processing it,
yeah,
that delay. Yeah. So if I'm like, what are you doing right now?
I'm looking at you.
Exactly. But like what I'm really hearing about what you're doing is what you were doing like that fraction of a time before. Right. And so it's all of those things that are like, okay, what is time? Time is it can time ever be objective? Well, what he's talking about in here, it really isn't. And is time fundamental to the universe? Well, sort of we find out in here, it really, really isn't. So if time is subjective and not fundamental, what the fuck is time?
It's like, yeah, that's so, do you know what? That was really interesting. Yeah, I got to admit, like that was a really interesting fact. And the fact that, you know, you're talking about present, like present is a transient thing.
Yeah.
It's like now, what is now? Now is, it's like, he uses the example of like, who am I? I'm a collection of different events and different like reactions that gives me my sense of self. And against now it is like that.
Yeah.
It's a collection of things happening at a specific moment, which gives you the illusion of now and this is the present, but it's not really. And that fucking blows your mind, man.
Yeah. Like, okay. So like one of the, like I thought one of the most interesting things that was brought up like really, really early in the book, right?
Yeah. Was it local time? Versus,
yeah. Clock time. Yeah. Like, yeah. So a clock at the top of a mountain, and then you have a clock on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The clock at the top of the mountain, time will pass more quickly up there compared to the ground based on just differences in gravity.
I mean, I don't know how big the difference is in that perception of time.
Okay, but so question.
What you really know about me?
That's such a great song. Okay, but then like now, okay, this is,
yeah.
I'm like breaking it down to just basic. Right now I'm picturing a clock at the top of a mountain, a clock right down here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like not the time. The clock is moving in a sort of mechanical way. So then you're saying that clock is not measuring real time because that clock will still move at the same rate.
My understanding from the book, and if there are physicists listening, people who understand it who are like, you are completely fucking wrong. Blame the book.
it is a bit rambly at times.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the book, it's narrated by Benedict Cumberbatch, as you mentioned. Mm. And so for a lot of it, it does sound a bit like Doctor Strange being a bit drunk and trying to explain.
He's like time. And time once again, and time, and a footnote, page 7.
Like it's real. It's really flowery. Like it's written beautifully. It's written really like a book of poetry is written.
It is quite nice. Yeah.
But it doesn't get to the facts very easily. And I think it's because the concept is so fucking difficult.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like how it's so tough to understand.
But as a concept. It is difficult. I think by 30 minutes in, you are committed to it and it starts to make sense.
So that's like a few chapters in.
Yeah. So you have to really commit to it. I think one of the things is he does kind of ramble around things and, you know, he kind of gets the stuff in his own good time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's like, it's a guy that clearly knows his stuff. Mm-hmm. And so because he knows his stuff, he's taking liberties with it and packaging it up to be quite simple for other people, but in his sort of idea of what simple for other people is or what people will understand, it gets a bit convoluted. Like, he makes a lot of references to what some people would consider classics, so like Greek classics, Beethoven, Kant, Buddhist scripture and Shakespeare and stuff. And I'm like, I have no idea about, I did Shakespeare at school,
Alex, I studied philosophy and I didn't know half the stuff he's talking about. It is, I mean, what is accessible to him might be different to the general audience, but who is this book for?
The general audience is actually for us.
That's the thing. Do you know one thing though, I'd say it's good to listen to as a pod, like not a podcast, but audiobook, because you can kind of dip in and out. Like there was points where I dipped out and I came back in and I could still kind of understand what was going on. So it's good just to listen to and jump in and out, because it is so well written, flowery, and you know, Benedict Cumberbatch is doing it, and you know, it's quite good to listen to. But whether it's a coherent narrative and you can listen to it, it's a sustained period, it's quite difficult.
Yeah. And I imagine it would be a lot more difficult to read as a book.
Yeah.
I found it a bit easier to listen to.
It was nice to listen to at parts, you know.
But yeah, now for you, Oz, I got a couple of quotes. And what he's talking about with, you remember, Newton's idea of absolute time. He was saying that Newton's idea of absolute time is like the point at the end of the rainbow where it touches the forest. We think we can see it. So this idea of true time, you know, that's completely objective and not relative to our own perceptions of the world. We think we can see it, but if we look for it, we can't ever find it.
Oh my God.
And that is what absolute time is. We always think we can get a perfectly objective absolute time, but it's always going to be in relation to something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I found that super interesting. The idea of local time affecting each other.
Yeah.
And then that creating an overall sense of time, which is, what is it called?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The T prime, which is kind of like, I guess it's like an averaging of that. But what thing I found most interesting was that there's no difference between the past and the future. That conclusion blew my mind, dude.
Like it threw me a little bit.
Yeah,
a lot of these things, like when it comes to physics and time, like I have to really piecemeal it together. I'm like, okay, what do I actually understand? Because this is really sort of complicated. Like, it dips into things that I kind of get, like the idea of entropy, which is like disorder. So disorder starts off incredibly low with the Big Bang, probably the most ordered the universe has ever been, and entropy is always increasing.
Yeah, so that's the second law of thermodynamics.
Bam,
right?
Bam, yeah. So entropy is always increasing. And the reason why that's so interesting is because you have one example he gives is that, you know, we're saying that you're saying past and future is like the same. He starts off sort of talking about that. And then there's this bit where he's like, okay, the only way you can tell whether a video is moving like backwards or forwards, like if you had a video of me waving, like play it backwards, you play it forwards, you can't tell. So time is the same. Past to present, present to past, going future.
But that's specifically because you're doing the same motion, right?
But that's the thing, but that can be applied to so many things. But he said the only way you can signify whether something is moving backwards or forwards is like if you had a ball, a video of a ball rolling down a hill, and if you played it backwards, you'd be able to see something going from static to motion. And that's the idea that that is something with decreasing entropy, which is because when you're, it's going from state of friction to frictionless. Because think about it, when you're rolling a ball, it generates heat. So you know that it can't ever go from spontaneous to just moving. And so stuff like that. So it uses entropy. It's a really good way of talking about the passage of time.
Mm.
And that is being sort of one of the things that allows us to perceive time. And how, like, a great conclusion of it is we perceive time because we are attuned to a tiny slice of reality that has this peculiar orientation in time, in that we are beings that are made of time. So, yeah.
What?
I know.
It's so mind-blowing.
It's like, a fucking the entire thing is a fucking mind-blowing book. And for people who are listening who are like, yo, what the fuck are these guys talking about? I was expecting dick jokes and occasional forays into science and tech related around me as an ethnic minority and a millennial. Well, sometimes...
We do real shit.
And like...
and Oz just sits there being fucking mind blown.
Like, I feel as though this book is... It's a really good coffee table book.
Really?
I feel as though it's one of those books you can dip in and you're like, oh, look how cultured I am.
I would leave it on my coffee table for like that odd, like clever Tinder date. Yeah. That, you know, I feel like, as oh yeah, I have substance to this.
Order
this.
Of time.
Yeah.
Rosemary.
I feel as though it's one of those books that in 10 years, in 15 years time, you're going to see those wanky people who are like, oh yes, I read Order of Time when I was 12.
It's like on their like wooden bookshelf.
Look how great I am. I read the first edition of Order of Time. Oh, you know, in the same way you have people who are like that with A Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking and stuff. At the same time, I don't think that takes away from how well written the book is. It's just that for me personally, I don't know how you guys feel.
Mm.
I don't feel like I got to the core of anything.
I think it touched on good ideas. It got me thinking about things. Definitely. And it was interesting to listen to. I wish they used like a different voice. I wish they used something like, you know, that guy from that show, Don't Get Dommed. They should use that guy.
Who?
Sorry, Don't Get Dommed.
Do you know that guy from that TV show? He's like, no. Dom. My name is Dom. And I'm going to help you.
Fucking guy off Rogue Traders.
Yeah, that guy.
I thought you said Don't Get Dommed as in like a BDSM thing.
No.
I was like, you can just you say your safe word.
It's the same word. It's pistachios, if anyone's interested.
Pistachio? No, so, man.
When do you ever say pistachio during sex?
Do you want to get into that?
Probably not. Let's move on. no, but honestly, as in, it needed a more accessible voice. Like, I mean, Benedict, he did a good job on it, but it's just like to make that bit.
You
more
leave Benedict alone.
No, it's true though, because like in this guy, Carlo Rovelli, he's talking about, you know, such a high level concept, and he's bringing it down for people who don't understand, you know, quantum loop, whatever, and. You know, the idea that our entire reality isn't created out of anything consistent, but sort of, it isn't created out of lines. It's created out of lines that when you zoom in, they're tiny, tiny, tiny dots. You're talking about quarks and all that subatomic particles. And at that quantum level, space and time no longer really exist. And so if there is no fundamental time at a fundamental level, when you scale it out to look at the world, is time still really a thing? So those are the sorts of high level things he's talking about, and he's using Benedict Cumberbatch.
But also, like, these are ideas and theories, aren't they?
I mean, a lot of them have been explained. So in one of his previous books, I forget the name, it's not the Seven Brief Lessons in Physics, it's like another one. I'll find the name. In one of his previous books, he did talk about quantum loop theory, like his area of physics. And so I feel as though there are some bits in the middle where they're sort of a bit weak that have been discussed in his like previous books. Yeah. But like, it's still so fucking difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel as though that's the curse of physics science books, that they can never really be truly accessible without giving up a lot.
No, but I agree with you to a degree. You know, you can't simplify complex ideas, but there are a lot of times in that book where I was like, just cut that whole part. That didn't add anything to my understanding. Cut that out.
Nah, fuck it, cut that.
You don't need to tell me every footnote. Like, yeah, it's like...
Yeah, like...
It's like, come on, man.
But is that the curse of just audio scientists?
Books. Yeah, like, but I'm like...
That if we gonna... want to tell everyone, like, every detail because we think it's important.
Absolutely. But look, as a non-scientist, I'd say, look, I listened to that book wanting to get a general idea around some of the complex ideas you're talking about, not necessarily hear every footnote. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. Like, give me the good shit, right?
Like, I don't want to hear every single reference to, you know, the... children of Greek gods, or you know, in the Greek myths. I'm not here to hear all of that. I'm not here to hear about Beethoven's symphonies. I'm not here to hear about Immanuel Kant. I'm not here to hear about esoteric Buddhist literature. I get it. You're well read. You're a guy who's able to do advanced quantum research as well as write a book. I get that you're smart. You don't need to keep telling me how smart you are.
Yeah,
but is that why it's all there?
I feel it's to stroke his own ego, isn't it? To a degree. That's out of order, maybe, but that's how I felt for some of it.
A part of me is, I feel as though those are the circles that perhaps the people who read these sorts of books generally are in.
Yeah.
I am very smart kind of people.
Yeah.
And I feel as though that's a line I've been pushing the entire episode, but like, that's how I felt.
Yeah,
just going through it.
I feel, maybe we're projecting our own interpretation. Insecurities on it. But look, at the end of the day, if they were trying to make a book that's appealing to, you know, people who are not into science, you know...
It's not this book.
Look, come on. I'm interested in philosophy of science and I struggled with it at times. So that's my take on it.
I mean, look, I'm almost finished with a PhD.
Exactly. Like, here's the thing. We have to read so much, like, bullshit text anyway as PhD students, right? Yeah. I would like this book to be written in the style of The Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar.
Yeah.
Yes. A picture book that I can just flip and, like, chill out and just understand visually.
Let me give a good example. In terms of historical literature, there's a really good book. It's called The Black Jacobins by C.L.R. James. And that is a history book that is interesting from start to finish. And, you know, because C.L.R. James wrote that book to be interesting. Now, this book, I'm sure he had the intention of making it interesting, but it is, for me, a part very inaccessible.
But also, it makes me wonder whether this book was written in terms of the audience, not just for like a sort of people who are interested in science, but also maybe age factors in. Would we look at this in 5-10 years and be like, oh my God, this book is so interesting, because at that stage we are up for reading that kind of, because at the moment it feels like we don't want to read such heavy text. I remember like when I was younger, like history lessons used to piss me off. I'm like, I don't need to know about stuff that has already happened. Mm. Whereas now, history is the most interesting thing ever for me. Like learning about shit that happened, how that shaped the world.
Yeah.
And so it makes me wonder if in 10 years time, I'll read this book and I'll go, oh, I get why this book was written.
A part of me agrees, but another part of me is kind of like, oh my God. Like, I think just from the reference, like even the references that are used, like it's just like it's really tough. It's really tough to connect with it. And when you're trying to ground something like this in the real world, it becomes very, very, very difficult. So his previous book, where he sort of discussed this idea of loop quantum gravity that he works on, it's called Reality Is Not What It Seems. And again, people praising that, like this book, for being clear, lyrical, and readable. And sort of the same as this book. This book is meant to argue that the universe isn't made up of things, but it's made up of events. So it's not an order of like queuing. it's a crowd, if that makes sense.
It's like a network of events affecting each other. That's the way.
And the way we're perceiving it is time is a river. But like,
it's more like ripples in the ocean, isn't it? You know, that's what it is. It's like different events. Like time is a consequence of variables that we perceive, but it doesn't actually, I mean, it exists in space-time, but the way we kind of interpret time is different because of the circumstances which we live.
Like, this podcast will sound amazing if you are blitzed.
If you're like super stoned right now, this is good.
This podcast will sound amazing.
Yo, man, so I'm not much saying, time.
I personally do not partake in illicit narcotics, but I'm just saying, like, live your life.
Listen, just lie up a bit of oregano. Yeah. Just chill back. Get that herb in you. Listen to this shit. God,
like, it's such a weird.
Well, this is the thing. This is why I struggle to even start listening to this book, because quantum physics is so, like, theoretical, and it's so full of ideas, and I think it's just the way my brain works. I want to know real, like, stuff that I can see and understand. I can see things happening, and that's why I struggle with anything that's quantum physics-y.
I think Rovelli, like, one of his key strengths, even though I've spent a lot of time saying just how trash this book is, like, one of his key strengths, I feel, is that ability to explain why you don't understand it. So he might spend 100 pages explaining this concept, and he'll spend a couple of pages explaining why you don't understand it. And one of the most interesting things is him talking about the fact that time itself, whilst not being universal, not being a fundamental thing, it's an idea born of our perspectives and where we are in reality, you know, we as humans, or, you know, we as living beings. So it's that we don't have the language to truly understand it. You know, our language now is better than 500, 600, 700 years ago to explain sort of time and the passage of time. You know, you think ancient Greeks, ancient people, you know, using sand to explain the passage of time. And whereas now we have, you know, quantum whatevers to talk about time and all of this. So we're getting more knowledge and more language, and we can tease it apart a bit better, but it's still not at a stage where I can be like, this is this, this is this, this is this, this is this, this is simple, but, like we have in biology.
Yeah. But also, like, you know, I'm going to put forward an unpopular opinion.
That's what you're here for.
As just a regular guy on the street, right? Why does it matter?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, you're saying, how does it translate to my real life? Well, he talks about that. He's like, some of the greatest scientists are people who look at things and see what they are in reality. So, you know, he used the example of in the observation, the world is round. The scientist, or the first person to make that observation, he looked at, well, this is what he uses in the book, but he looked at the sun moving up and down over the earth, and he made the observation that in fact that we're spinning around the sun. Now, that's the great thing about, you know, science, the scientists, is that you know, can make these observations around the world. And, you know, you might say, oh, what relevance does this time have to my perception of the world? Well, it helps us make decisions and act in the world, and that is an evolutionary adaptation of humans. But independent of that, of our experience, what is the physical world? And that is what we're trying to understand in physics, isn't it? You know, what is the world independent of our experience? And that goes back to basic philosophy. You know, Kant introduced the idea of there's a world separate to what we perceive. And that's really where a lot of quantum physics kind of comes in.
Well, was Kant the guy that had the brain in the jar argument?
Possibly. It rings a bell.
Wait, what's this?
You know, the brain in the jar argument, the idea that we are just brains, you know, what would the world
absolutely
be like?
He was one of the first people to bring that idea forward, that the world that we perceive is different. We perceive the world within the confines of our mind, and he used the distinction of the nomina and the phenomena of the world. And, you know, that is where a lot of modern science, and, you know, I could be wrong, but that, from my understanding, it's a lot of modern science looks at.
Oh, no,
right?
Brain in the vat is Descartes. But but I think that's really interesting, the idea that this, you don't really have it with biology textbooks, definitely not chemistry textbooks. Physics and philosophy, they work really well together, I think, but it's quite
It's abstract thinking. You have to think abstractly because the things you're thinking about, you can't necessarily see them or perceive them. You have to think about them. Once you have a kind of an understanding, then you can do the scientific or empirical method to prove your ideas, is what I think he says in the book. Mm. And, you know, having that vision is actually really a powerful tool in understanding the world and, you know, in science in general. Even though we badmouthed it a lot, I think...
We haven't badmouthed it.
I think expectations were high. A book
critiqued it.
Yeah, if you got a book called The Order of Time, I want to hear some good shit. And I did hear some good stuff. I got to say, I feel like if you took the boring bits out, like... No, as in not the... Alice is laughing. As in...
take all the trash
It just needs
out.
To be abridged a bit. Look, Penguin House, give me a shout, bruv. You know, my fees are reasonable. I'll bridge that shit for you. I'll make it good to listen to, man. Put some sound effects in it, a couple explosions and that.
So, Ozzy, what we talked about, are you going to go away and listen to this book?
I'm going to try. Like, I'm still wondering... why? Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's so intense and I'm just wondering what I'm going to how it's going to change my perception of time, because to me time, I just understand time as the basic thing that I see on my watch, you know.
Yeah.
And like, that's the most useful time is to me.
I mean, see, that watch and another watch completely different, so
good stuff in there. Needs to, if they want to make it more accessible, then they just need to bridge it and just make it a bit more, you know, accessible for people. But, you know, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, like,
I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed listening to it.
Maybe they don't want to. Yeah. Maybe Carlo Rovelli has like hit his market, because he's written, you know, multiple books, and so he's obviously got a captive market for this.
Yeah.
And so there are people that love it. Like, I was flicking through some Guardian, Times, like all of those reviews of it, and people like love it.
Mm.
So maybe we're the ones who are wrong.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess, you know, again, it's like, how do you want to, it depends who you're targeting and how you want to approach that. But, you know, saying that, like I did say, I did find it interesting, but I think they miss an opportunity in a sense by trying to involve a wider audience in this, I guess. Does that make sense?
It does, but I think it's all, like with anything, it's always hard, isn't it, to capture everybody.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the human condition, is that we all have opinions and perceptions and understandings of things, and what we consume is kind of up to us, isn't it?
I love that we do a critique and then Oz comes in with, well, maybe criticism is just super subjective. And is it even fundamental? Does criticism even exist?
Who am I? Like, what is time?
Just like to stay open to all.
And guys, we've come to the end of the episode. It's been a weird time.
It's been a weird one.
I mean, how many more times can you say time?
Listen, you can say a lot of times listening to the audio.
I feel as though, would people get a better experience if they took this episode, downloaded it, and played it backwards?
It's like, maybe.
It's the same thing, really.
It's the same thing, really. In any case, I have been your host, Alex Lathbridge. I've been joined by Oz and Sahel.
See you later.
What's up?
And this has been Why Aren't You a Doctor Yet? Or has it? Peace. So you might be thinking, oh my God, how do I hear more about this amazing podcast that combines humor, entertainment, pop culture, and cutting edge science? Or you might be thinking, oh wow, these guys are geniuses and I have questions only they can answer. Or you might be thinking, oh wow, these guys aren't even real doctors and I know way more about science than them and I want them to know this. So how do I let them know this as quickly as possible? So what you've got to do for us right now is leave us an iTunes review. I know you hear it everywhere, but it's super important because we want that sweet internet validation. Or you can send us your questions or comments by email. It's at whynotadoc@gmail.com. And if you want to stay up to date with what we're doing, you can go by social media. It's at whynotadoc on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Remember, iTunes review, follow us on social media, annoy us by email. Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.